I am. We're going to talk baseball with Cal Eldred. What a game two last night of the World Series. It's been a great fall classic so far. We will talk with Cal about that. And coaching changes being made as far as Major League Baseball is concerned. Also on the program, Mike Grimm will join us, and we will talk Minnesota Golden Gopher football with the former Eastern Iowan. Iowa, Minnesota playing for Floyd of Rosedale coming up on Saturday. We will preview that and let you know what happened on a big, big bowling night in America. All that coming up on the Gym Class on KGYN. Just taking a look at the temperatures here for Friday that they are forecasting. It's going to be our first weather. Alive. It's not going to be 70 degrees coming up at kickoff on Friday. Welcome in, Gym Class, here on 1600 AM, 107.5 and 106.3 FM KGYM. I'm Scott Unesh, Mark Dukes to my right. Kyle Mann, our producer, across the glass and across the way here. As we get into a Thursday edition of the show, we're going to talk to Cal Eldred coming up here in just a little bit. Also, Mike Grimm will join us, and we will talk Iowa-Minnesota football. That'll be coming up on Saturday. Really looking forward to the game. One of the great rivalries. In fact, there was a few publications that have rated it the top trophy game, if you will. Not saying the top rivalry, if you will, but the top trophy game, maybe the best trophy out there as far as college football is concerned. That is Iowa, Minnesota playing for a pig. And we will have that, we'll have Before the Boom coming up at 3:30 on Saturday, and then After the Final Gun coming your way. And that will be right after the completion of the Hawkeyes and the Gophers coming up. Lots to get to here on the program here today, and a lot of it dealing with Major League Baseball. And did you make it through Game 2 last night, Mark?
Absolutely. I thought it was one of the most entertaining baseball games I've seen in a while. It had all the appearances of ending much like Game 1 ended, until Dave Roberts decided to try to use Kenley Jansen for a six-out save. And that's been debated a bit today. Didn't quite
work out. He's done it before.
He's done it before. This thing went back and forth. 8 home runs, most in World Series history.
5 in extra innings.
Dallas Keuchel saying the balls are juiced.
Do you believe that, by the way? Are we back in the juiced ball era for ratings, if you will? Ratings are down again. You can look at that two ways. Rating, I think, for Game 1, I haven't seen what Game 2 was yet, but Game 1 was 10.5-ish right in there. Which, tell you what, if you didn't put World Series on it, is an enormous number in this day and age. We're not in the 1970s anymore, when there were 3 channels and PBS out there. You know, this is a completely different era. And TV ratings are just going to continue to go down for most things. And 10.5 is pretty good still. Pretty darn good still, but I guess that beauty is in the eye of the beholder. I thought it was a great game last night. Every time you thought it was over, all of a sudden somebody came back. Home runs flying out of the park because it's 95 degrees in Los Angeles at the end of that game. And kudos to the Dodger fans for sticking around for the entire thing last night.
Los Angeles was 98-0 leading after 8 innings going into last night's game. That's the regular season and postseason. So basically, there was a 1% chance that Houston would do what it did. I mean, you put all your eggs in one basket with Kenley Jansen. More times than not, yeah, I'd like to have him on the mound for 3 outs or 6 outs. But I think relievers, by and large, are better off in 1 inning, maybe 1 1/3 inning type stints. Once Jansen was exhausted, and the Houston Astros gained all kinds of hope and momentum, you could see this turning not so good for LA.
Well, yeah, they had to go off. They were behind the chains last night, to borrow a footballism, in that game. Dave Roberts went to Stripling, and he did not come through. He had a four-pitch walk, and Roberts said that was enough of that, and had to go a little bit early to the top dogs, the top arms in his bullpen, which then, going through that, meant he had to bring Jansen in for a six-out save.
Mm-hmm.
And then former White Sox Brandon McCarthy came in there and looked like he was pitching for the Southsiders last night. Things did not go well for the young man, and he ended up with the loss last night as Houston came from behind to win that game. And it was just exciting back and forth. Charlie Culberson, I think, is still rounding the bases cheering, even though he only hit a solo home run. I know he was excited and wanted to get everybody pumped up. And even John Smoltz is saying, I think thought he tied it up. No, he didn't. He came within one. Tried to hit an eight-run home run down two. But great for him. I mean, that thing had a lot of drama, and of course, we're back to the baseball is too long because it was 4.5 hours last night.
319-366-1600. That's our phone line. Kyle Mann on the other side of the glass manning the phones, and that's also our Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line. You can find them in downtown Iowa City or at HertinandStockerJewelers.com. 1266 claims Game 2 is the highest-rated primetime event for Fox since the Super Bowl. We'll get our crack research team on that.
Well, it might be. I mean, what else is there?
Mm. Ryan from Walford, I don't blame Roberts for pulling Hill. Yes, he had only given up a run on a few hits. There's endless traffic in those innings. I think in his mind he was playing with fire, putting him back out there. And with that bullpen and a day off, I can't blame the guy. That's baseball.
Oh, thank you, Kirk. We're weighing in here today. The other thing that perplexed me, not only did Dallas Keuchel saying the balls are juiced again, but also the fact that some people around the country are saying that Justin Verlander just didn't have it last night.
Mm.
He threw a two-hitter.
He gave up two hits and he has seven innings, or seven or eight innings, yeah.
Now, granted, the two hits were hit a long way. I'm not going to say they weren't. Both home runs. Got off the hook with that game. But for the most part, Verlander was pretty darn tough last night for what I caught.
Aside from two swings, yeah.
And I caught the whole game last night. We had one eye on it and the other eye on the boy.
We coming down off a tremendous emotional night last night.
Yeah, so. We were. More on that coming up in just a little bit. 319-366-1600 if you'd like to weigh in on the World Series. I think it's been outstanding so far.
For different reasons.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And then we got off-the-field baseball news we'll talk about with Cal Eldred. Joe Girardi is not going to manage the New York Yankees next year. And it came out, first of all, and you saw it as well, Girardi fired by the Yankees. And then everyone kind of stepped back a little bit. Joe Girardi yesterday was saying there were rumors to the effect that Joe Girardi was thinking about stepping down because he wants to spend more time with his kids. Now, if that was just a ruse out there perpetrated by his people and Joe, I don't know. Bottom line is he's not going to be the manager of the New York Yankees. Very lucrative job up right there. Same thing with the Boston Red Sox, although you were under a microscope in both of those, especially I think with the Boston Red Sox, even more than the Yankees this day and age. Mike Maddox is going to be the new Cardinal pitching coach. We'll talk about that with Cal, because Cal was rumored to be one of the candidates for that job. And Mike Maddox goes from Washington to St. Louis. Your Twins have a new pitching coach today. Garvin Alston is going to be in charge of the Twins pitching staff now. Young coach.
He's been around the league 12, 13, 14 years, and Todd Bromekamp, talking to him about it, he's convinced Alston's a good hire for the Twins.
Interestingly enough, the Cubs, after losing the NLCS, they have they've gotten rid of everybody. Starting over, basically. Chili Davis coming in as the new hitting coach for the Chicago Cubs. Of course, got rid of Chris Bosio as well. He's rumored to maybe be joining Ron Gardenhier in Detroit as the pitching coach for the new-look Detroit Tigers next year. So there'll be a different look in the Cub dugout next year, and also on the base paths, because they'll have new base coaches coming up next year as well. So interesting. We're in the silly season, I guess, right? As far as baseball coaching staffs are concerned at this point?
Pierce, so I don't know where the truth lies on this Girardi and Yankee story. There was rumors that Girardi, after 10 years, was kind of burnt out, wanted to spend more time with his family. But then there were other stories out there that, how do we say, Girardi wasn't necessarily connected to the clubhouse or connected to certain players in the clubhouse. And for that reason, Brian Cashman and others decided, you know, maybe this is, we need to go a different direction. But if the Yankees chose to fire Girardi, I've got a big why with a question mark on it. I mean, he's got a better winning percentage than Tony La Russa and Joe Torre and Sparky Anderson and Joe Maddon and Whitey Herzog and several others with a World Series title, six playoffs. I think he's done a hell of a job in New York. Maybe it's a combination of two. I don't know.
Somewhere in the truth probably lies somewhere in the middle. Somewhere in the middle out there. 319-366-1600. I know there are a lot of Yankee fans.
And not everybody's carved out to be a manager for life either.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. We've got Thursday night football for you coming up tonight on all three frequencies. The Baltimore Ravens and the Miami Dolphins for you tonight. And that will get underway at 7 o'clock. Before we get to Mike Grimm here, talk some football. Let's talk some football, some high school football. News came out yesterday, of course, right after we departed at 4 o'clock. The Iowa High School Athletic Association changing things around. It was rumored that it was going to happen in Class 4A. Well, they changed the number of teams in all of the classes for high school football next year. 4A this year, 48 teams. Next year, it will be 42 teams. And then 3A, Class 2A, Class 1A. Last year, 56 teams. This year, 56 teams. Next 2 years, it'll be 54 teams. Rest of the teams, schools playing 11-man football will be in Class A. And 8-man, the cap goes up from 115 in your school to 120 for next year if you want to play 8-man. And if you go over that between years, you can still play 8-man. They're not going to make you play 11-man for the second year. What does it mean? The reasoning from the Iowa High School Athletic Association in their memo they sent out was, and I buy this because we're getting more and more of this at the top, Class 4A, they're, you go from 42 to 48, Mark, and you lose 200 students, basically. Number 48 is Newton for this year, 653 kids. Number 42 is Mason City with over 800. And the discrepancy between that top 40-ish and the rest is getting a little bit more pronounced each and every year, for whatever case it may be. And there are many different reasons out there. So they're going to go to 42 next year. And if you do the math, what is, you got to go by, okay, what numbers are divisible by things? The other thing that came out from the Iowa High School Athletic Association was they want to cut down on costs. There's going to be more rivalry games and more non-district games. So districts, I think the age, albeit short as it was, of 7-game district schedules is probably gone in Class 3A, 2A, and 1A. I think you're going to see that drop back a little bit. What goes into 54, Mark? 9 does. 6 times 9 is 54. I think you're going to see 6 districts. Well, wait a minute. 9 districts, I should say, of 6 teams apiece. So if they base it on what has happened the last 4 years, non-district football does not count. You're going to see more football games that really don't mean a whole lot. Maybe they're going to go with one of the rumors a couple years ago, and that non-district games will now mean something. They will put some sort of a point value on it. I hope that is the case, because we've seen it in 4A the last couple years when half of your schedule really doesn't matter. You can go 5-0 in the back half, go to the playoffs, and lose all four of the non-district games. I'd like to see something, some compromise in there that those non-district games mean something. I like the fact they're going to play some more natural rivalries. I think it's great. I think it's fantastic. I think you're also going to see wild cards, more of them. I think you're going to see 4A wild cards start up next year, and I think we're going to see a difference, whatever it may be, as far as how many playoff teams get in. I'm not sure they're going to go back to 32. I think they may go to 24 and have byes for the district champions in that first round.
So in 4A, does that mean seven districts of six?
I think it might be.
Okay.
And that would be 14 automatic and two wild cards.
All right. As of right now, according to the 2016-17 BEDS documents, those are enrollment documents, grades 9 through 11 each and every year. And again, there'll be another set of these coming out before next school year. But if it was based on this year's BEDS documents, number 42 team would be Mason City.
Yes.
That would be the floor of 4A. Moving to 3A then would be teams such as Council Bluffs, Lewis Central, Clinton, Waterloo East, North Scott, Western Dubuque, Newton, and then on down the line. You know, I think the real issue is the top 5 or 10 schools in Iowa versus that 42nd school. West Des Moines Valley, the biggest school in the state of Iowa, 2,176 students in those three grades this year. Number 42, as I said, Mason City, 809.
That's the problem. I think you throw Valley out there, but even Waukee at 1,895, the second biggest school in Iowa. There's just a big discrepancy between the top 20-ish or so, and, well, actually, top 10 and kind of the rest, but that's the state we live in.
10 is Waterloo West at 1,469.
Mm-hmm.
Again, that's nearly double what the 42nd biggest school would be, and they would all be in the same class.
I would agree. And that's something they're going to have to look at, and this is the adjustment they have made for this year. But let the speculation start. If they go to 24 teams or 32 teams, is the season going to move up 1 week? And then you're really overlapping into baseball with the football guys.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's a good idea myself, unless you move baseball up. But the dates are already set at Principal Park for the next 3 or 4 years for the state baseball tournament. And the iCubs aren't going to change that. They aren't going to play games when it's even thinking about raining. We learned that this summer. And it's not going to go back any. John Hegarty said last night, I was talking with him, and he said, do you think we could bring back, and remember the 80s? That week 9 game, if you don't make the playoffs, you just pick somebody and play a game?
Right.
Could we see that again? I hope that's not the case, because that's not always the best outcome.
Couple texts on the Hertzing and Stockard text line in regard to the subject, 8650. Valley is and always has been a joke. Should be in Class 5A and forced to travel since they just want to keep all the athletes at one school. 7295 asking you, Scott, and you kind of alluded to this. Do you think 4A will drop to between 24 and 30 teams?
I think it could someday. I really do. I think and that's part of the reason why the girls went to 5 classes. Yeah, people think it was a move monetarily to bring in more revenue. I think that played a little bit into it, but I also think the fact that they may have been ahead of the curve a little bit and going to and thinking that particular way of there's just such a big drop from that upper echelon as far as students.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying anything about athletic ability to the next class down below.
25-23, where do the Cedar Rapids schools fall? Well, there's no change next year for the Cedar Rapids schools, excluding Marion. In terms of enrollments, Linmar is the number 5 school in enrollment right now at 1,650.
Biggest in eastern Iowa.
Mm-hmm. Next in the metro is Kennedy, 1,422. Then you go down to Prairie, which is just a little bit bigger than Jefferson right now. Prairie, 1,191. Jefferson, 1,172. And then Washington, 1,007.
Yeah.
But all would be in 4A again next year.
That is correct. All right. There you go. A little bit about what's happening in football in the Iowa High School Athletic Association. We're going to talk football when we come back. Mike Grimm's going to join us, and we will get a preview on Gopher football in Iowa and Minnesota coming up on Saturday. Back with more after this. Gym class coming your way for a Thursday here on KGYM.
This is the sound of money. So is this. And this. It may not sound like money to you, but it will. Because you'll get paid while you learn to do it all. That's how the apprenticeship program at Carpenters Union, Local 308, Local 1260, and Local 678 works. You earn while you learn. So, no student debt. Check out carpentersunionapprenticeship.com. This is how you build a career.
Register now for the Let Me Run Fall Fest 5K, presented by Pinnacle Realty. This chip-timed race on Sunday, November 5th, starts at 1 o'clock at Kirkwood Community College. Proceeds benefit Let Me Run Eastern Iowa Corridor. Find race info at letmerun.org.
First Federal Credit Union is proud to present Corridor High School Athletics on the Gym. First Federal Credit Union, financial solutions for the way you live. FirstFedCU.com.
Member NCUA and Equal Housing Lender.
You'll probably find them either on the golf course or at the bowling alley. Scott Unash and Mark Dukes, the Gym Class on KGYM.
Back with you at 325. Cal Eldred will join us coming up in just a little bit. Mike Grimm on the on-deck circle. A couple more. You pick out a couple more texts about the changes in high school football for next year.
Did indeed, and appreciate the involvement of folks out there. Shows that there is a level of interest in high school sports for sure. 31-18, the issue isn't 4A, biggest versus 4A, smallest, because you have enough kids to field teams. The problem is in the lower classes.
True.
When teams like Clinton will have 4A participation numbers playing small 3A schools that can barely field a team.
Yes and no, but there were several schools in eastern Iowa, I think Clinton among them, Burlington, Mason City, maybe Ottumwa, that didn't have sophomore teams this year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's all over the place. I understand that, but
Mason City had a combined sophomore freshman team, I know.
Yep.
Waterloo East, I don't think, could field one of those two teams, sophomore or freshman. I mean, last year, Jefferson had a hard time fielding a freshman or sophomore team. I don't remember which, but it is a growing problem. 1577, you might have looked at this, Scott. Where does Solon, Clare Creek, Amana, and New Liberty High School shake out? Well, we don't have enrollment numbers for Liberty because it just opened.
Well, they're there, but it's for this year. That school is going to continue to grow. They're going to be 3A next cycle.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be 3A the next cycle as well. Is that change basketball too or just football? Nope, just football. This is just for football we're talking about. Thank you for the call. Appreciate that. Speaking of football, Mike Grimm set to join us right now, play-by-play voice of the Minnesota Golden Gophers in football and basketball, and of course, a proud Eastern Iowan from Manchester, Iowa, USA.
3A West Delaware, is that right?
3A yeah. West Delaware will remain 3A, but they're on the bottom half of 3A for next year as well. Mike, how are you?
I'm good. It gets old, West Delaware dominating 3A, you know. that's what the Hawks do, though.
That's what they do. A proud alum of West Delaware High School. And Mike, I know you always enjoy coming back to the state of Iowa to do Iowa and Minnesota, and you get a chance to do it coming up on Saturday in the first meeting between P.J. Fleck and Kirk Ferentz.
Yeah, for sure. I'm always looking forward to it. It's my favorite trip. One, because it's fun to come back and visit family, and my mom and dad will be in the radio booth with me. They usually are able to sneak in, and that's always kind of fun to have them there. And you know, growing up, they're going to games all the time, so it's my favorite trip. Plus, I like the stadium. You know, it's a great stadium. It's a loud place. It'll be a nice game, so definitely looking forward to that.
Mike, it really appears that this is, despite the change of quarterback at Minnesota, there's three very capable running backs on this football team. Curious how they will be utilized or have been utilized.
Well, it depends on the health of those three running backs and how they've been utilized. It's been kind of Shannon Brooks and Rodney Smith have been the top two running backs, and then Kobe McCrary, who is Singer, who had 153 yards the other day against Illinois and had 107 yards earlier this year against Middle Tennessee. Shannon Brooks was out last week, so he didn't play, and that gave some carries to McCrary. And McCrary's been so good in the chances he's gotten. Basically, P.J. Fleck this week said, you know what, he's going to get more chances. He is a really good running back. He's a power running back. Guy, 240 pounds. So they'll mix it up, and they'll play two at a time. Oftentimes, one of those guys will be kind of a jet action and come in motion and either get a handoff or a fake handoff, and then they can hand it off to the other guy who's actually lined up in the backfield.
How about the quarterback change, Mike? Demaryius Croft is in, and Connor Rota out for the moment. Are we going to see just one quarterback? Do you think we'll see two quarterbacks coming up on Saturday? How's that going to play out?
Well, if Demaryius Croft plays okay or better than okay, then that's the only guy you'll see. If he struggles, and he struggled a little last week in that game against Illinois, he was 5 of 15, only 47 yards. And if it looks like the outcome might be in the balance in regard to, you know, if Iowa's running away with it or if, the game is not close, they may make a change. But I think Croft is their guy now. He played really well late in the Michigan State game. He has a few more tools. He can get it done with his legs. I've heard some think that the reason that they ran the ball better against Illinois last week than they had in a few weeks, well, one was because Illinois isn't very good at stopping the run. We know that. So that was part of it. But also, when you have a quarterback in there that has the threat of a run, that can certainly free up running lanes for a running back. And I do think there's some validity to that. There's no doubt Croft is a good runner, a skilled runner. And if Minnesota's to somehow pull the upset off, then he'll have to play well.
P.J. Fleck's first season, obviously. Wondered what the... You know, Minneapolis is a lot different than Iowa City, obviously, because of the professional atmosphere and whatnot, and a lot tugging at the front page for front page news. But just curious how folks are feeling right now.
Well, it's like you'd expect. You know, the diehards love him, as they would if P.J. Fleck were the coach of the Iowa Hawkeyes or the Wisconsin Badgers or the Nebraska Cornhuskers. The diehards are gonna love him. And as you mentioned, Mark, it is a different market. One, they're fighting for attention, but two, even the college teams are covered like a pro team. So there is skepticism. It's a two-newspaper city, a two-sports radio station city, and then you factor in, you know, the rise of social media and message boards and everything else. So discontent can happen quicker than you think. That hasn't reached that level yet. And remember also there are... it's a very skeptical market anyway, and so when you have a guy like Fleck who comes in, and I like him, I really do, he's a sincere guy. I know people think that he can't be that way all the time. I can tell you he is. There's more to him than just that. If he ends up not getting Minnesota to the places he's promised, it won't be because he's like a fake or a fraud. He is absolutely who he is. He's sincere. He is there for the kids. I've been very impressed from that standpoint. But when you come in and talk like he does have these sayings and require different things, there's going to be a few folks in a major media market that might cast a skeptical glance his way. And I don't think there's any doubt that some of that happens and is happening.
Well, I'm glad you addressed that, because that was going to be my very next question, is what's it like working day in and day out with P.J. Fleck and your relationship with P.J.? So I'm glad we got that out of the way anyway. And this is a very important game for both of these football teams, on and I think off the field as well, because P.J. Fleck has said he's going to go right up against the Hawkeyes as far as recruiting battles is concerned.
Well, look, if he wants to get where he wants to be, he's got to win some battles with Iowa. He's got to win some battles with Nebraska. He's got to win some battles with Wisconsin. Quite frankly, and I love Jerry Kill. I was a huge Jerry Kill backer, and, you know, certainly, it was unfortunate with his health that he had to step aside. And now he's, you know, trying to get Rutgers, their offense going, and it looks like they've won a couple of games. But that's one thing, quite candidly, that staff didn't do. They didn't beat Iowa very much in head-to-head battles. They didn't beat Nebraska ever. You know, they didn't win them many times in head-to-head. I'm not talking about on the field. I'm talking about recruiting battles now. I mean, Jerry Kill beat Nebraska on the field and Iowa. They never have, you know, they haven't beaten Wisconsin since 2003, so that's been a while. But, But I'm talking recruiting battles. If you want to win the West, and that's what P.J. Fleck wants to do, the Big Ten West, you're going to have to go into Chicago and beat Wisconsin for a kid. You're going to have to go into Kansas City and beat Nebraska for a kid. I'm not talking every kid, but on occasion you're going to have to win those battles. And you know what? He already has. He's won a couple of battles head-to-head with all three of those schools here in regard to commitment. So you're right. It's an important game from that standpoint. And then, you know, I don't know how important bowl eligibility is. I don't think either program's probably headed off to the Rose Bowl, you know, here in 2017. So now the question is, what bowl can you make? If you would have asked me in August, I'd have said, well, it's a slam dunk. Both these teams are going to make bowl games. It's just a matter of how special can the bowl game be. Well, now I think Iowa's probably on a better track, but Minnesota's going to be an underdog the rest of the way. They're going to need to pull. They're at four wins. You need to get to six. Probably going to need to pull off two upsets unless they're a favorite against Nebraska. But either way, that's a coin toss at best. So you're going to have to find, you know, a couple of upsets someplace to win if you want to make a bowl game. And, you know, there's a lot of varying reasons for why Minnesota's where they're at here at 4-3.
Mike, a lot of hand-wringing going on among the Iowa fan base over the lack of success in the Iowa rushing game. And three Big Ten teams have held Iowa under 90 yards in games this year. How equipped is Minnesota to do the same thing?
Well, it's been up and down. They gave up 290 yards rushing to Michigan State. Michigan State put the game away basically by running 19 out of 20 plays from the end of the third quarter into the fourth quarter on the ground with L.J. Scott, who had his first 100-yard rushing game of the season. Maryland ran all over Minnesota defensively on the ground. And then there's been other games. Illinois couldn't get much going. I mean, they're giving up about 130 yards a game on the ground, and that's about what Iowa's averaging. So, you know, that might be about where it would be. That wouldn't be a terrible number. I think either side might take it. You know, that's the weird thing of how it's gone. And you know, the Iowa thing's kind of interesting because I think this is just me talking, but I think if you'd have told Kirk Ferentz in August that his first-year starting quarterback on October 28th when they faced Minnesota would have 16 touchdowns and three interceptions and, what, 1,500 passing yards, you'd say, God, they're going to be 6-1, 7-0 maybe. I mean, they'd be rolling. But because they've struggled on that running game with a very talented running back in Wadley and have not put up points very well in the red zone, I mean, they should have been ahead of that game last week, right, 14-0. 5 minutes in, and they had no points. You know, they've struggled scoring points. And the Gophers have been the same way offensively. They have at times been successful moving the ball and then come away with empty possessions. And it's hard to consistently win. It is a little paradox, you know, when you got a quarterback at 16 touchdowns and three picks and 1,500 yards, but yet they're not averaging, what, much over 20 points a game. So that rushing game's got to get going. That's certainly a concern of Minnesota. Like I said, they have had a couple of games where they've been run all over.
With that being said, and with the weather forecast, it looks not the best coming up on Saturday. You got to see a low-scoring game ahead of the Gophers and the Hawkeyes, don't you?
Yeah, it was 14-7 last year up in the Twin Cities. So I'm going to say that's going to be a similar kind of thing, right? The Hawkeyes are an 8-point favorite, so, you know, 14-7 wouldn't shock me again the way, you know, especially if the weather's bad and the way these, you know, Minnesota's defense is absolutely the strength of the team. They're giving up 318 yards a game, 17, 18 points a game. So, yeah, I look for a defensive struggle. And as soon as I say that, that probably means it's going to be 45-35 or something, you know.
Well, if you want points, tune in for the Gopher-Hawkeye basketball game because that one could light up the scoreboard.
Yeah, that's the question, right? I mean, I don't think there's any doubt that, I mean, obviously the basketball score is going to be higher as it normally would, but those games will be fun, that's for sure. Both those teams are going to be pretty good.
Yeah, I would agree, and I think a lot of people waiting, especially the losing side of this game on Saturday, maybe looking ahead to with one eye to basketball season. But hey, Mike, always fun talking with you, and appreciate the time. Safe travels down to the state of Iowa, and always good to talk with you, man.
Yeah, enjoyed it, guys. Take care, and hope to see you guys soon. And yes, we'll have a safe trip and enjoy our time down in the Hawkeye State.
Thanks, Mike.
All right, sounds good. Thanks, buddy. Mike Grimm joining us here at 3:38 as he is the play-by-play voice of the Minnesota Golden Gophers. Get to a break coming up in a moment. Cal Eldred will join us on the other side. And Mark, you know what? I am not going to treat this as though it was something horrible last night. We are going to address it. We are going to we're going to talk about it, and we're going to move on. That's what we do. It is Bowling Night in America, brought to you by May City Bowl, Trent Street Southwest in Cedar Rapids. How did it go last night?
Well, with a snort, I'd say on to next week. Actually, the Rusty Nails exceeded, we exceeded our average every game. But we ran into a buzzsaw with Durline Scale, which had, I think, won 21 of its first 24. But it was a matchup, 1-2 last night, position night, and I don't know the right word. We got our ass whooped.
They bowled really, really well. I think they saw our number last week and said, we could probably come pretty close to that.
Yeah, last week we put up the high series in the league for the year, and last night it took the second high series by Durline Scale to beat us. So.
Our grand poobah, the great Mike Hoskins, said, hey, now you know how it feels, guys. Yeah. He told me that before I left the alley.
I'll give you an example. Roger Taylor Jr., out of the shoe with a 297. Folks, he's had more 300s than 297s, trust me. And a 789 series. That's for starters. And Kevin Klein, 775.
775 is pretty darn good. That'll get you a lot of accolades.
They were 1-2 in terms of high series in the league last night, and as luck would have it, we opposed them.
So that's what happens sometimes.
So Durline Scale lengthening its lead in the Evergreen League, and Rusty Nails, we dropped back to a tie for fourth, but still okay.
Five out only.
On to next week.
Only five out.
Yeah.
So not too bad. So yes, Roger Taylor Jr., the man last night, along with Kevin Klein. So they were 1-2 in the hit parade.
Sometimes you just tip your hat, right?
And we tipped it. Hey, what can you do? What can you do? But, yeah, great job by those guys. They had fun to bowl against those guys last night.
Yeah, indeed. And it's fun to bowl at Bay City. And a great staff out there, Andy Dirks in the pro shop. If you have any questions about open bowling or a party of any kind, equipment, give them a call, 362-0136, or visit the website, maycitybowlcr.com.
Our patriarch had his Dodger hat on and one hat on the television and the other on the lane, but did a fine job. Once the game started, he did a lot better than I did.
How'd the Pin Pals do?
They won all four again? Last night. They won all four again? Last night again. Yes.
Wow.
I believe they're out of last.
22-35 on the text line. That's bowling.
That's bowling. That's two of those today. All right. Our thanks to May City Bowl, the official sponsor of Bowling Night in America. All right. We'll take a break. Come back. Cal Eldred will join us. Talk World Series after this. May City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, May City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious bowlers.
And fun for everyone, like Glow Bowling Friday and Saturday nights.
Our team, the Rusty Nails, is in the adult league, but they have leagues for every age and skill.
And you can call ahead for open lane times.
So whether you're leaguers or just want to have fun, it's always a great time at May City Bowl, off Williams Boulevard, Southwest in Cedar Rapids, the official sponsor of Bowling Night in America on the gym.
It's time for some straight talk. Greeny, you love your phone, don't you?
I'm updating my fantasy roster on it as we speak.
But I'm guessing you don't love your pricey wireless plan, what with all the mystery fees and data overages every month.
Oh, you got that right.
What if I told you that you could keep that phone you love, but pay a whole lot less every month?
Well, I'm in.
With Straight Talk Wireless, you can actually keep your same phone, your same number, even your same network, but for a whole lot less than you're paying right now. kind of like getting a number one starting quarterback
for the price of a backup kicker.
Steal of the draft.
Bring your own phone to Straight Talk Wireless. Our unlimited plan with 10 gigabytes at high speed, then 2G is just $45 a month. With nationwide coverage on America's largest, most dependable 4G LTE networks. Straight Talk Wireless. Only at Walmart. Savings may vary. A month equals 30 days. Please refer always to the latest terms and conditions of service at straighttalk.com.
Sometimes the best seats in the house are above it. In college football, that's the Goodyear blimp. And for more than 60 years, we've seen what it takes to be worthy. It takes toughness, dedication, and perseverance. Because seasons aren't measured by wins and losses, but by heart. Some call it hard work, determination, or grit. We call it blimp worthy. Goodyear, official sponsor of the college football playoff.
Ferguson Facilities Supply has the products, services, and solutions facility and property managers need when and where they need them. We offer a vast array of janitorial, lighting, HVAC, hardware, safety, and plumbing products, and that's just the first half of our catalog. And with nationwide coverage, we deliver directly to your facility, making sure you have everything you need to get the job done. Because at Ferguson, relationships are the most important thing we maintain. Learn more at Ferguson.com.
Two hosts born and raised in Eastern Iowa, talking Eastern Iowa sports. Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on the Gym Class, KGYM.
And welcome back to the Gym Class, Thursday edition here on KGYM. Coming up tomorrow on Friday, we'll talk high school football a lot coming up tomorrow. Jeff Johnson will join us from the Cedar Rapids Gazette, talk about that, the Rough Riders as well. And then also coming up tomorrow, we'll have the Carl and Ernie's Pick 6 for you. We're back to Fridays now, our regular day for tanking in the Carl and Ernie's Pick 6.
Our tailgate tour is finished for the year, and we thank all those sponsors out there that we mentioned for tailgates in the North and South Gym. It was a great tour around the metro area, and I know they had a great time in the South Gym for those events as well.
Yep, looking forward to 2018. We can wait a little bit, though. Looking forward to it, but we can get through all of the great basketball and wrestling and whatnot. By the way, the wrestling assignment's out already as far as districts are concerned. And for high school wrestling coming up for 2017-2018. And we'll be talking wrestling in the near future, coming up with our wrestling guys, Mark Ironside, as well as some of the other folks. So looking forward to it.
Yep, Monday Night Football tonight. Miami at Baltimore on all three frequencies at 7 o'clock following the Todd Brommelkamp show with Alex Kuhn. And to reiterate, Cedar Falls at Cedar Rapids Prairie. Scott and John Haggerty on the call tomorrow night, 6:45 on 1600 AM. And then Washington, Cedar Rapids, Washington, and Iowa City West on the FMs at 6:45. Consult KGYMRadio.com for all our programming.
Yep, we're going to talk with Cal Eldred coming up right now, I believe. Kyle has tracked him down, and we will talk with the former major leaguer here. As the World Series tied at one right now between the Astros and the Dodgers, as a big win last night for the Houston Astros. Cal usually joins us on Tuesdays, but he was called in to a meeting with the Kansas City Royals, so he joins us on Thursday. How's the popcorn? You probably lost a little sleep last night, but you're raring to go for Game 3 coming up, right?
No question. I've actually... full confession here, fellas. I was on an airplane during the game last night, but so I got filled in, watched the highlights, saw what was going on, and the popcorn they serve on the airplane, it just isn't quite as good.
Gotta get this out of the way, Cal. Mike Maddox hired as the Cardinals pitching coach today, and no secret, your name was being bandied about for that job, and perhaps in Kansas City as well. Where do you stand on that?
Well, I can say this for sure. I will not be the pitching coach in St. Louis.
No.
it's been a little surprising, actually, you know, with all the openings with managers, Girardi, you know, not coming back as a manager in New York, St. Louis making a lot of changes. We've got positions to fill, and
Being a pitching coach has obviously been something that has always been on my mind, but we'll see how things shake out. I'm not 100% sure how things will go all over baseball, let alone in Kansas City. So Mike Maddux, obviously, in St. Louis is a good hire. They need to let him do what he knows how to do, and I think that would be the best thing. What we have in baseball today is a lot of people getting positions and then finding out that they really can't be who they are, or they're not really allowed to do the things they really think they would like to do, mainly because a lot of the stuff is coming from the front office that they want done on the field. And that's, you know, you can say it's a old school, new school argument, but a lot of times it's just that people don't know how quite to work together and mesh all that together. But Mike Maddux has a great track record. I've heard nothing but good things about Mike, and have talked to people who have worked with him. So hopefully they've got somebody that they can have there for a long time.
Cal, have other teams reached out to you, including Kansas City, and for pitching jobs or any other jobs?
Well, I mean, obviously the St. Louis position was something that I had some conversation. It's tough when one of your best friends is the manager there and the hitting coach there. There's a lot of people there that you know. And so, yeah, you know, I mean, there's conversation with that situation. There's conversation in Kansas City. I just really need, the thing I want to do for an organization, and right now that's the Kansas City Royals, is be in the position that the front office and ownership really think that I can best serve the organization. And so, obviously, you guys know we got a lot of openings yet, and there was another position too that I looked at, but you know, I enjoy working in Kansas City. Dayton Moore and Mr. Glass are phenomenal people to work for.
Well, with that out of the way, we now look forward to games 3, 4, and 5, at least, of this World Series. So far, so good. This has been, I think, as good as advertised between the best two teams in baseball, the Houston Astros and the L.A. Dodgers. I guess you're, first of all, answer me the question. You've been around baseball all your life. You've been around baseball this year. Is the ball juiced again?
The simple answer to that is yes.
Oh,
I really think it is. I think because you've got, and I say that not because I've been sitting in major league stadiums and watching it, you know, firsthand, but when you watch it, watch it on TV, I listen to our coaches, I listen to both the pitchers and the hitters, and I don't, you know, the pitchers are kind of beyond complaining. They just know it's the way it is. Everybody has to deal with it. And the hitters, you know, they don't talk about it a whole lot because they like to hit home runs. But I really believe that it is. I mean, you talk to a lot of the coaches, and they believe that it is. A lot of people want to say, too, that, you know, some organizations are teaching a different swing path. Some people want to use the term launch angle. But, you know, we've had a lot of guys that have tried to launch over the years in the game of baseball. And, you know, and plus, you know, hitters are good, but I just don't think you see this dramatic rise in home runs. We broke the record. I really feel like, and pitchers know, because you have the feel of the baseball, and it does feel hard. I know there's a definite difference between the Major League Baseball and what our guys are using in AAA and AA, for sure.
Cal, Dave Roberts obviously has pushed a lot of the right buttons and for the Dodgers this year. Looking back to last night's game, were you surprised at all that he went to Jansen for a six-out save?
You know what? I was surprised that he did, and I was surprised that it was that quickly. Yet you look at it and you think, okay, he's, you know, Jansen's going to have another day off. He's going to have a day off, and then you know, but to take, you know, to go to him so quickly, I think the reason why is because he kind of felt like his bullpen was faltering. And I think you saw it in the Cubs series when Carl Edwards Jr. was taken out. He struggled a little bit. Then he didn't get to pitch. Then he did pitch. And you saw that confidence in his face just erode. And I think that's what you have to be careful doing that in the playoffs. I understand it's pressure. You need to make a move right away. But I was a little surprised because, you know, Brandon Morrow's been really good. The bullpen for the Dodgers has been really good. And, you know, the other thing that I always say when you get into a seven-game series is that you play the same team possibly seven times in a row. And, you know, when your relievers, they're relievers because they usually only – they don't even go around the lineup one time, maybe, and most relievers don't. But if they're going to face you five times in a seven-game series, they're going to bite you sooner or later.
Not only great pitching, but also great hitting, clutch hitting. I mean, that game last night was just back and forth with all the momentum. It looked like the Astros were going to wrestle it away in the 10th with a couple home runs. Back come the Dodgers to get things going, and the Astros finally winning that. Obviously, it's 1-1 right now. If the Dodgers had won that game last night, what chances would you have given Houston to win the series?
Well, I wouldn't give them a very good chance because I think even though you've got Morton and McCullers going, I still think the Dodgers starting pitching, Darvish is better, even though they're at home. So I think that's – that. And I think – well, and, you know, last night obviously is going to go against what I'm going to say here, but I still think that the Dodgers bullpen is better than the Astros bullpen. And you know that's going to happen. They're going to get into that in Houston because you're probably going to see some, maybe possibly some higher scoring games there. So it would have been tough for me to say, yes, Houston can come back and win this. But now, man, to a certain extent, they've taken away the home field advantage for the Dodgers. The Dodgers got to go get it back. And if they're world champions, they should be able to go and at least win one out of those three games in Houston and get it back to L.A.
Cal, I wanted to ask you some of the off-the-field stuff today, principally Joe Girardi out in New York and a very successful decade-long stint there. And there's conflicting reports whether the Yankees released him or Joe just wanted to step away from the game. Where do you think where the truth lies and your thoughts about Girardi as a manager?
Well, when I first saw that, I texted Dayton Moore, our general manager in Kansas City, and was like, "Are you surprised?" And he's absolutely. And he asked me if I was too, and I said, "I'm definitely surprised." And I know Joe. Dayton knows Joe. A lot of people, obviously, around the game of baseball, are surprised. I really think that we are. But there's usually when you see something like this, there's a really, really good reason. Joe's a family man. I know his wife and his kids and they come first, in his life, but I also know that there could be some other opportunities out there. You got Jeter and his crew down in Miami, and maybe that's going to be where he's headed next. I don't know. Joe is a guy, Joe's the kind of guy, he doesn't make a move, on a whim. So he's thought this out. He has a plan, and all of us are very interested in seeing what's next because he's a great baseball guy.
Yeah, I don't think he's done. I think he may take a little bit of a break with his family and watching his kids a little bit, but I don't think we've seen the last of Joe Girardi in a dugout around Major League Baseball.
No, I don't think so either, Scott. I think you're right. And the other thing is he has done some analyst work in the past, and that work is, especially with his tenure in New York, that's a lot easier on your as far as family time goes. So we'll see how things work out.
Chances you'll be on the gym class next year, Cal.
And for everybody out there, that's another way to ask the same question. It'll be interesting. I would like to be. It is a blast doing this. I know maybe you guys do, but I get a lot of responses from people that listen. A lot of it has to do with all three of us, as this is our home area, and people know us, and they enjoy baseball a ton, especially in the eastern part of the state. So that's a tough one to answer is what I'll say right now.
All right, no issues there.
Who's going to win who's going to win this thing real quick? Or will we have a champ by next Tuesday?
I think now that it's 1-1, I think this is going to be an absolute slugfest back and forth. And I say that only because I think there's not because of the offense. I think this is just going to be a great series. And I still think the Dodgers will come out on top. But it wouldn't surprise me to see the Dodgers only go get one in Houston and turn around and get the last two in L.A.
I think it's going seven. We'll talk next Tuesday, Cal. Thanks for helping us out on a Thursday, and safe travels. All
right? Thanks, Cal.
You bet, guys. I appreciate it.
Cal Elder joins us here on the Gym Class Tuesdays, joining us on Thursday. Thanks to him for being so candid.
Had to go down that road one more time. I'm sorry.
No, we found out some things today, so that was good.
All right.
Thursday Night Football coming up tonight. Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn coming your way next right here on KGYM.
Hey, why are everybody's leaves out?
Leaf vacuum day, buddy.
How do you guys all know this?
It's right on my phone. See?
Huh. Nothing's on my phone.
Well, you're signed up at crnewsnow.com, right? That's how the city of Cedar Rapids lets you know.
Don't they just sign me up automatically or something?
No. You actually have to sign up at crnewsnow.com. It takes like 3 minutes. You sign up with your street address so you only get a reminder when it's our week.
No more missed leaf day. I like it.
Never miss the leaf vacuum again. Sign up at crnewsnow.com.
Get a financial education Monday mornings at 7:20 on the Gym during Corridor Money Matters featuring Tryon Investments. Learn even more at tryoninvestments.com.
KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM. KCIA HD3 and 4, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City.
I'm Doug Brown. After 10 years on the job, Joe Girardi is out as Yankees manager. Girardi's contract ran out at the end of the season. His New York teams average 91 wins a year, and they won the World Series.